night I was out on the town. I went to the Chris Radio for the Blind wine tasting.
Mm-hmm.
And I had an excellent time there. And then a few of us decided it would be a good idea to crash the Hartford Magazine launch party, to which I'm no longer invited because I've been so horrible about things on the air. So it's at that point that I really start wanting to go to parties, when I know I'm not welcome at them.
Mm-hmm.
The whole idea becomes a lot more attractive. So we went over to the Hartford Hilton, the newly remodeled Hartford Hilton, which for my money looks exactly like the old one. I've now been to the Hartford Hilton twice since it's been like the newly remodeled Hartford. And I guess there's supposedly a new restaurant in it that's pretty interesting. It's a Jewish deli / high-end Chinese restaurant. But I haven't been to that. But, I mean, I've been to the Hartford Hilton just to sort of go to. I went to the Connecticut Forum dinner there, and I was there for 2 seconds last night. And, as you'll see, and I don't know. Maybe the rooms, I don't know. I'm sure it is really, really different from the old Hartford Sheridan or whatever it was. But I can't figure out how. Anyway, so went over to the Hartford Hilton, and in fact, with the idea, I mean, basically in terms of a Hartford Magazine party, the only person that we know or care very much about at Hartford Magazine is Teresa Pelham. Well, as I entered the Hartford Hilton lobby, she was leaving it, saying, get out, the party's boring and it's breaking up and everyone's going over to 960 Main Street. Well, I'm so estranged from downtown that I didn't even know what 960 Main Street is. But it's this kind of quasi-pretentious nightclub in the old G-Fox building. So we all went over there. Anyway, somehow or other, in the course of all this, I did get a copy. I got a copy of the magazine in which we've won another spurious, bogus, fraudulent award.
Wait a minute. How did you get it? They're passing out magazines?
It was their launch party. It was their launch party for their... At every issue they put out, they hold this fantastically self-congratulatory launch party. And last night happened to be at the Hartford Hilton. So I got a copy of the magazine, and I also talked a little bit to Michael Guinan, the publisher of the magazine, who I'm sure is mad at us, and probably at me in particular, but who was genial enough not to let on that how angry he probably is. And we had a
why? Because he gets $47,000 worth of publicity every week.
We put Teresa Pelham on for hours and hours, and I mean, she mostly just talked about herself. But I mean, somewhere in there's a certain amount of publicity for the magazine.
Of course, if that were the standard we were going by, talking about ourselves,
Well, we do that too.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, but I mean,
some more than others.
In terms of publicity for the magazine, they would get more publicity.
Oh, yeah.
If she focused a little bit more on.
Oh
on
yeah, well,
the
I see what you mean.
Herself,
yeah.
But
right.
She doesn't really do that.
But the mere fact that she is well known.
We made her into a household name, and then by extension,
right.
People may have some dim understanding that she works for Hartford Magazine or she writes there. Anyway, so I don't know why I'm mentioning him. There was some point I wanted to make, and I can't remember what it was. It'll come back to me. But anyway, then I did get this the magazine, and we won
something.
Yeah, we won best local afternoon radio show, and we also won,
which is better than what we got last year.
We also won best French fries, and we won best garden center.
That's good.
We won in three different categories. Very
we weren't entered in two of them, but actually we weren't entered in any of them.
In the area of the media, I'll tell you who won. Best newspaper columnist, Jim Shea.
That's
best,
good.
Best local TV weather reporter, my boyfriend, Scott Haney. Best local TV news sportscaster, Miss Sportscaster, Kevin Nathan. K-Nat, as we call him.
K-Nat.
Yeah, K-Nat. Best local TV reporter, the freakish elf, Kara Sondland. Best local
Shelley Sinlin didn't win anything?
No, she completely skunked. She's nowhere. She's like nowhere to be found in this magazine.
I saw her last night on the Fox.
She's a hardworking reporter. There's no question about it.
Talking about, you guessed it,
Michael Ross. Yeah, she's a new topic.
She's on the Stan Simpson show tomorrow morning, by the way.
You know, I have to say, everybody has.
Sorry, I brought that up.
Has such a stan on, you know. I mean, Bobby has the worst stan on. Bobby has like just this man crush on Stan.
It's true. It is. It is just unbelievable.
And Chris Francis has a stan on.
Yep.
And Shelley Sinlin has a stan on. And I like Stan Simpson. I worked with him at the Hartford Courant for years. He's a very nice guy.
Mm-hmm.
And believe me, from my own experience, I know how hard it is as an African American to make it in talk radio. I feel like I did. I blazed the trail for Stan in many ways.
You blazed something.
but I'm sick of hearing about it. Anything new is awesome. Anyway, both best local TV anchor.
Could be the Mike Peters show again.
That's true. Oh, believe me. Look, Stan is like the golden age of radio compared to most of the stuff that's been in that slot. Wow.
Watch it. I used to be in that
slot. Been there, but, you know, you were there and you were tired. They were just trying to squeeze another drop of blood out of you.
Very good point.
That's good. I like that.
But wasn't he in Baldwin there?
No, she was later on. later in the morning.
Oh, sorry.
yeah, what a great show that was. Okay.
Produced by Lenny and Riefenstahl. But, all right, best local TV anchor, Denise DeCenzo. That's not fair. That's Denise DeCenzo, as most people know, is a computer program that's actually added digitally to the WFSB thing. Best local morning radio show is Roy and Debbie, of course. Best local afternoon radio show, Bruce and Colin. That's, they didn't want us to attack them on the air.
What about midday show?
Best local radio talk show host is inexplicably Brad Davis, although his show didn't win any awards. But he's the best host.
What?
It doesn't make any sense. Yeah. Best local FM radio station is our hideous FM station, WTS. And they do mention Afternoon Dude, Damon Scott's song parodies deserve Grammy Award nominations. Well, I wanted to mention that in giving us an award, they said a nice thing. They said, here's what they said. They said, just when you think you've got an issue all figured out, Bruce and Colin come along and turn it upside down. Oddly enough, this talk show is home to some of the best, most eclectic music in town.
I don't know that we want to get into that.
Point this out because our pea-brained operations manager, Steve Salahini, is always over here saying, you should play some more popular music. You play all this weird music that nobody's ever heard of.
Steve, I know where Mr. Salahini is coming from, however. Because he's going on the premise.
A group home, probably.
Forget it.
There's no home. All right, well, doesn't make any sense. Anyway, I'd like to thank, for all of the horrible things I've said about Harvard Magazine, I would like to thank them, particularly I'd like to thank them for the props about our music, which we do take great pride in. We work hard.
Wait a minute. You want to thank somebody? You don't mean that.
Yeah, I do mean it.
You do?
Yeah. I'm glad they said the thing about our music in particular, because I like the little description of us. And then,
But you can see really what Salahini is saying.
No, I cannot. Oh. He's just a goon. Best local AM radio station is WCSB.
Kind of nasty toward the man who's really the man who's responsible for putting this whole thing on the map.
Yeah, that's true. He's a programming genius.
What's wrong with you? You say thank you to somebody and then you say he's a programming genius?
He's a programming genius, but he's just a pinhead, too. It's like Rain Man or something. I mean, really, he's done a great job of programming all four of these radio stations.
Then
he's sitting at his desk like eating pancakes with toothpicks or something. I mean, he's really, you know.
You don't need to explain it to me.
I can't explain it. There is no explanation. But anyway, that's that. That's the Hartford Magazine thing. We're not going to the award ceremony. Wild horses wouldn't drag us.
When is it?
But Bobby will go. Bobby will go, and the acceptance speech will last until dawn.
Can't you see that?
Come over to the apartment?
it's nice of them to, I don't know. The whole thing just depresses me beyond all. Well, let's move on. Let's change
that. Well, then we find out a few minutes ago that apparently they're having some party at this.
The producers are
having a party. Yeah, they're having a party, but they were nice enough to invite both of us. We, of course, will be going, right?
Well, first of all, I mean, this is at this apartment, the three of them share. These three young men in their 20s with no principles or prospects. And I mean, I'm just predicting some kind of giant mass staff infection.
Shelley Sinlin is on the phone.
Oh, my God.
Well, it doesn't, there's no...
Well, let's put it on there. Put it on the air.
Shelley?
Yeah.
Hi.
Hi. Who gave you that
one? I just want to tell you something. At Starbucks, buying my photographer coffee.
Oh, that's very nice.
I'm buying his coffee.
Well, I'm sorry that you didn't win best. That little elf, that creepy little elf, Kara Sutherland, she won the best news reporter.
Well, I actually heard you say that. Thank you. You know, in all honesty, it's like, I like Harper Magazine, but you notice he does a lot of advertising.
Oh, so you think money plays a role? You think that you're saying the process is dirty? Is that what you're saying? Are you making some kind of allegation?
Fox 51 doesn't advertise. Who won all of the awards?
Well, first of all, why doesn't Fox 51 spend a few bucks on promotion? You're out there busting your butt for them every day. I see you standing in the pouring rain in front of, you know, lethal injection chambers. This is no way for a woman in her 30s to spend her life, and they won't even spend any money promoting you, so you have a chance of winning this, what you're alleging to be a fundamentally corrupt awards process. Anyway.
I don't need them to promote me, because you guys have been doing a good job. Mm-hmm. So you've been ripping on me a little bit, Colin, but I can take it. I really can. I think it's hysterical. I think you're funny.
Please don't call here anymore.
I won't call here anymore.
Fine.
Hartford SBC Yellow Pages is here. That's right. The SBC Yellow Pages is being delivered throughout Hartford. Whatever you're looking for, find it in the SBC Yellow Pages, life's most used book.
Colin McEnroe, Sonnet 143.
Though as a careful housewife runs to catch one of her feathered creatures broke away, sets down her babe and makes all swift dispatch in pursuit of the thing she would have stayed, whilst her neglected child holds her in chase, cries to catch her whose busy care is bent to follow that which flies before her face, not prizing her poor infant's discontent. So runst thou after that which flies from thee, whilst I, thy babe, chase thee afar behind. But if thou catch thy hope, turn back to me, and play the mother's part, kiss me, be kind. So will I pray that thou may have thy will, if thou turn back, and my loud crying still.
See, it's really not true that if you read one line of Shakespeare, you become a genius.
That was beautiful, man. That was touching.
That was from Humphrey Donkin's enjoyable Shakespeare sonnet CD that included such voice talents as Joseph Lieberman. And John Larson reads one. Mayor Mike read one. Eunice Quirk.
Mayor Mike is on this.
Doobie McDowell, yeah. Anyway. Our numbers are 522-WTIC or 1-800-966-WTIC, star WTIC. What does Dennis want? I don't understand.
Let's find out. Yeah. Dennis?
Yes. Hi, Bruce and Colin.
Hi. Hello.
I'm soliciting your advice and recommendation. I'm considering going down to Toad's place tonight.
Yeah?
To hear a band called The Nerds.
The Nerds.
And I was wondering, are these the guys that do, like, computer talk and stuff?
No, these are not the same guys. This is not a band with Eric and TJ in it or anything like that.
No.
Those are the geeks, first of all, not the nerds.
Those are the geeks, huh?
Yeah. This might be Tim Melmecki's band. I don't know anything about the Nerds.
Oh, I thought you did, because I know you guys are hip and what's happening.
We are very happening. Bobby's telling me in my headphones it's a hip-hop band, but I'm not familiar with their work.
Hip-hop band? Yeah. I don't know if that'll work for me, 55-year-old white guy.
Well, you gotta experience these things. Everybody should go to at least one hip-hop show.
You gotta push your limits,
exactly.
Right?
You don't want to just be a thinning briefcase of enthusiasm.
This is true.
All right. Good luck.
Thanks,
Bruce. Let us know how it works out.
I sounded familiar.
He sounded Geets-like a little bit. He had a slight Geets quality to his, but it's not Geets.
Are you sure?
I've given up hope that Geets will ever come back. Geets, for people who don't know, was the greatest radio talk show caller ever. And if there was any part of Geets that we could hang up and hoist up into the rafters, we would. But since he disappeared into thin air, or even possibly fat air, we can't do anything about it. Anyway, we'll be back. We have more reporting on the old Texas suggestive cheerleader stuff coming up, and a special guest to analyze it for us. One thing that's clear here in America, from sea to shining sea, cheerleading is slowly turning American youth, young American high school girls, into strumpets, into harlots, into hussies. And the only place where anybody's doing anything about this is
something
in Texas.
Wrong with our radio, I think.
The only
hearing that right?
The only place anybody's doing anything about this is in Texas. And joining us now is someone who's had the courage to step up to the plate and take a stand against overly suggestive, sexually provocative cheerleading harlotry. And that is Vicki Courtney. She's the author of the book Teen Virtue. You can learn more about her on the website, VickiCourtney.com, and she's with us now. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Fine. Now, explain to us why this legislation is necessary in Texas. I mean, not everybody, I think, understands this.
Right. Well, it was introduced by a representative in Houston and passed the House, but rumor is right now he can't find support for it in the Senate, so it'll probably die on the Senate floor. Mm. And what he did is he proposed that, it relates to the regulation of certain sexually suggestive performances at public school events. And I'm reading you the exact bill. It says certain sexually suggestive performances prohibited. A school dance team, drill team, cheerleading team, or any other performance group may not perform in a manner that is overtly sexually suggestive at an athletic or other extracurricular event.
Well, no, you know, the one question that some people might have is, how do you decide what's sexually suggestive? I mean, I feel like I know it when I see it, and it turns my stomach.
Right, and this is exactly what this rep said, too. He said, you know it when you see it, but I'm with you. I didn't propose this bill, and I think you're like my 12th show I've done in 2 days. And
right.
Some shows have thought that I'm the one who pushed it through,
right.
And I'm not. I'm certainly just a concerned parent. I have a daughter who is a varsity cheerleader. I'm an ex-cheerleader from Texas. It's a big business in Texas. It's definitely changed over the years. And something does need to be done, but, you know, my wish would be that something could be done at the local level.
Yeah. Yeah, I wonder if the State House is the right place for this. Well, when you were a cheerleader, did you feel like you were being coerced subtly or overtly into doing sexually suggestive cheerleading?
No, absolutely not. Of course, you know, this was way back in the day. I'm 41. And,
right.
We didn't even dance. Cheerleaders didn't even dance,
yeah.
Man. And this bill includes not just cheerleaders, but drill teams as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll give you a case in point. I've been
sure. Sometimes the drill teams are the ones that are most out of control, I find.
Well, it depends.
Why they're called drill teams.
It really depends on the particular coach. I think it's the coach that's calling the shots here. And so I've gotten a deluge of emails from, you know, confirmed parents, and at some schools are saying it's the cheerleading squad, and at other schools it's the drill team. I think it's probably about 50-50 from what I can tell.
Yeah.
At my daughter's school, the cheerleading squad is perfectly clean, and I wouldn't have allowed her to try out if it hadn't been.
What do you think is the big danger signal? In other words, when you say her squad is perfectly clean, others obviously are not. Others are you know, just in the toilet. But
sure.
What do you think is the big? Is it the hip thrusting, the sticking out, the tongues? What is it you think that really?
Well, let me give you an example. At my kid's high school, and I have a son there as well. The drill team is the one that really kind of got me on this war path going.
Yeah.
And it was last year that I sat in the stands for a pep rally, and the drill team came out, and first of all, I'd have to let you kind of know what they were wearing, but it was, you know, frayed at the waistline, low-rise jeans. White ribbed wife beater t-shirt.
Oh, nothing left to the imagination in situations like that.
Oh, exactly.
Yeah.
And then they had black satin bras, and part of the costume was that the bra strap hangs off the right shoulder.
Oh, my God.
So, and the girls were sitting along the basketball court while 2,000 students filed into the gym before they went out to dance. And so as I was walking by, I mean, some of the girls had their thong straps coming right out of their jeans.
Oh.
So, you know, this is the drill team. Now, they got out there, they started dancing. Not to go into a lot of graphic detail, except to say that their dance moves perfectly match their outfit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the only thing they were missing was a stripper pole.
Right. Where exactly does this happen?
A high school in Texas. Austin, Texas, that's academically recognized.
Yeah. Austin, Texas, a place like that, huh? What is the name of the high school again?
I'm not going to tell you. My kids made me swear.
Right.
They're traumatized already. The mom is, you know, parading around the country.
I just wanted to make sure I don't take my kids anywhere near a place like that. That's the only reason I was asking.
Well, you know, what saddened me and what I do is I do conferences across the country for middle and high school girls, and then I put these resources out, like Teen Virtue, that tackles the top 40 issues that teen girls face. And one of the issues that I cover in this magazine-looking book is the sexy craze. And so I think that's why I'm probably getting called to do a lot of interviews, and of course my daughter being a cheerleader. But what saddens me is that when this happens, and you're putting 14, 15, 16, 17-year-old girls out there, they are portrayed as objects. And if you could have been in that gym that day when they were performing this dance and in those costumes, now I've not been in a strip club, but I'm imagining that it was a similar response among the males in the gym.
Exactly, and it's a short step from what we're seeing in these gymnasiums to hanging off a pole in some Lucifer-infested strip club.
Well, it's very similar. And so I think we've come too far in 2005 to put our girls in that position. And again, my preference would be at the local level. What we need to see is parents stepping up to the plate and going, absolutely not, we're not putting up with this. What I'm finding is that the real politics is going on in the home.
Mm-hmm.
No girl out there wants to be the only girl on the squad whose parents are complaining, and then it gets back to the coaches, and then she's, you know, persecuted by the rest of the team, and that's really what's kind of going on here.
Yeah, and one of the things that I've said to my daughter, Jeannie Lee, is I don't care what the other kids are doing. I don't care what kind of suggestive routines they're doing. You're not doing that. You're not leaving the house dressed like that. And I feel, you know, at a certain point, you just have to be brave enough to stand up against the peer pressure.
Well, and good for you. You know, I was really excited to hear that one dad did take a stand like that, that had a daughter on this girl team. He actually was at the pep rally that I just described to you. And he walked out of the gym. I mean, you can imagine, he could not look at his daughter dancing that way. And a couple weeks later, he pulled her from the squad. And, you know, that's, to me, sad, too, because a lot of these girls are excellent dancers,
right.
And they want to be able to perform their art, and this was not an art.
No, we're not raising our daughters to be Salomes or Jezebels.
Right.
Yeah. Well, but it sounds like the legislative remedy is not the one that's going to happen, where they're going to have to look, perhaps, for more strength of character at the local school board level.
Sure, and you know, I'm not surprised that it's probably going to die on the House, on the Senate floor. But what I do hope we accomplish with this is that with all this public attention, that it gives parents a little bit more bravery. Maybe it's a wake up call to school principals. I can't believe our school principal hasn't taken a stand against it.
Mm-hmm.
I think really the drill team wins all these awards, and so there's a lot of that going on at the local school level. They want to be able to brag and say, they're winning these awards. However, it is taking a turn.
It's time to take the drill out of drill team. I completely agree.
Sure.
Well, listen, this has been a terrific. We're glad you took the time to be with us. Once again, it's Vicki Courtney. Your book is called Teen Virtue, and thanks very much for being with us.
Well, thank you for having me.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, I'm glad we were straightening that out. You should be. Yeah, absolutely. What? What? I'm just...
What was your daughter's name again?
Jeannie Lee.
Jeannie Lee.
Jeannie Lee, yeah. And that's what I say. I say, you're not going to be out there thrusting your hips in some cheerleading drill like some painted harlot.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't raise you.
This is
like
really, this is interesting because, how long have we done the show now? 7 or 8 years?
7 or 8 years, yeah.
I think it's the first I've heard of... Jeannie Lee.
I'm trying to raise her out of the spotlight. I'm trying to raise her out of the spotlight of public attention for this very reason. For this very reason.
I see. Okay.
Kids grow up.
I understand.
Kids grow up too fast.
Yeah,
in
I know
America
what you mean.
Today. And they don't get the kind of core values that they need. And before you know it, they're doing splits in cheerleading. And as that woman says, their thongs are riding up above their waistlines, giving them unwholesome wedgies. Which are a breeding ground for bacteria.
Sicko, you know that? You really are.
No, I'm not. I'm trying to stand up for some decent American values here, and I'd appreciate getting a little support for my position. I know it's not the most fashionable thing in this debauched and degenerate age.
Right.
To draw
to take
a line.
Stand.
To take a stand. Yeah. Exactly. It's like, that's it. We can't go any farther.
I guess we should be applauding you then.
I think you ought
for your effort. Rather than sitting here.
Yeah, I mean, I could join you in your hip, cynical, lubricious, salacious Howard Stern.
You could.
Sewer. I could.
That you've created.
Yeah. But I'm not going to.
Okay.
And that's fine.
Good,
Paul.
Glad we have that.
Fine.
Cullen shall return.
Hey, how about the thing I found out today that Sahaney's coaching Christian's T-ball team?
Is he coaching his son's T-ball team?
Could you imagine? Hit the damn ball! Now, and it's also embarrassing if you're Sahaney when the t-ball players are taller than you? How can he yell at a t-ball player who's taller than him and a better athlete than him?
He doesn't get a ladder to put the ball up on the tee.
Yeah, he does. It's unbelievable. Yeah.
Pot of gold at the end of the rainbow for Phil Jackson. He escaped the clutches of a bunch of spoiled, overpaid, dysfunctional athletes in Los Angeles, and now he has a chance to go and coach the New York Knicks, who are awful. It's time for Sports on Quad, the very French sports discussion. They've been a victory still on those
games. Wait!
Myself! We got guns and I'm here.
First off, of a non-sporting name, because we got traffic to get to.
A friend of mine, you, Mr. Ambrosi, this is from Richard Dahl in Sussex, England.
Oh, Sussex,
A friend of mine insists that you can get an electric shock even after an appliance has been unplugged. I've told them that they are wrong, but now I need to be sure. If I unplug my toaster and poke it with a knife to retrieve a mangled piece of burnt toast, could I get a shock from any of the components?
Not only, Dickie Dahl, could you get a shock, but you could suffer interior burns, which would require hospitalization. Forks are the worst are the worst utensil to use when dealing with an electric. Now, we don't urge anybody to use any.
No.
But a knife, a spoon is the best because of the oval shape at the top.
Does that deflect the electricity?
Yes. The electricity goes around the top of the spoon, and it's not as effective as when it gets to the bottom. The knife, because there's more up top, it gets through a little bit quicker. But you stick a fork in a toaster or in a light socket. Oh, unplugged, it doesn't matter. 500 volts at least. You'll be crispy brown on the inside.
30 seconds up.
No, I'm well. All right. No one would have known the difference.
Yeah.
Sort of like when other people interview people and go on and on and on.
Well, you know what? You were like laughing and fidgeting around over there. And
laughing? You're a bald-faced liar. Why wouldn't I be
squirming around and just being a distraction?
You hit this woman with this Jenny Lee stuff. My daughter, Jenny Lee.
Trying to talk about my daughter.
No daughter.
I'm trying to talk about the difficult that I'm going to make as a parent of a teenage daughter who wants to get dressed up like some kind of tramp in some tight-fitting outfit that shows her cleavage and her butt crack, and I just say no, no, no. I don't care what the rest of the cheerleading squad is wearing. You will wear a nun's hat.
Right. What you said.
Yeah. Here's somebody who...
We don't have time.
But he is somebody...
We never have time.
Sean is calling in, and he did crack from the pressure of being a caller to the show, and he's not a well man anymore.